for God's Word. Let's pray together, and then we'll study God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You now tonight for Your massive grace and again for the opportunity to gather here to hear the Word of God, to study this great book, 1 Samuel, to look at the life of Samuel, Saul, and David. We ask for Your guidance and direction with it. We pray, Father, that You would speak to our hearts about these issues and that by Your grace, Father, we could understand some truths and we could see that David was a man like we are, oftentimes even was out of fellowship, walking with You and just doing his own thing, drifting in the Christian life, because it's very easy to do that. We thank You, Father. We pray that we could learn some lessons here from 1 Samuel 27, and we could realize again that You are absolutely in control, and Your grace is sufficient to meet our every need, and we pray as we walk with You and depend upon You, we would see that. We give thanks now in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. In the New Testament, we have a verse here in Romans 15:4. It says, "For whatever things were written before," reference Old Testament, "were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." God has recorded things in the Old Testament about the saints of God, good and bad, and by God's amazing grace we might see and learn the lessons that we have to learn. Now the problem is sometimes not everyone learns the lessons they need to learn, and the question is, are we learning the lessons that these Old Testament messages are teaching us by the grace of God? Although declared to be a man after God's own heart, David in chapter 27 shows us sometimes in David's life they were not after God all the time. But amazingly, God not only records the good and upright things about His people, but also the sins and faults of His people. This is such a chapter in the life and the development of David, who is to be God's choice of king over Israel here in a few chapters. And by 2 Samuel chapter 1, he's going to be king. So this is a short chapter, but it has some pertinent things that we need to see as we come to the final chapters of 1 Samuel. Now David, in his later years, after he was king, stated something in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. He says, or God says through him, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near unto you." God is telling us through this couple of verses here that we're not to be like the horse. He is oftentimes impulsive. He rushes ahead. He doesn't wait on the Lord. He doesn't seek direction in life. He has his own mind and will in the matter. Then he shifts and says, "Both though need to be harnessed with bit and bridle to be useful and to be controlled by men." Instead, God is saying, you know, "Walk with me so I can instruct you and guide you with my eye." Now, parents oftentimes guide their kids and their children with a look with their eye, his face in the mirror of his word, friends, and yield to his spirit's leading. He has promised to lead us and to direct us in our daily lives. And this is the personal relationship that God wants with his children. He wants intimacy, communion, in this 12 verses that we're going to look at. This can happen in all of our lives when we fail to take the time to feed our souls with the Word of God. We take our eyes off the Lord and we just sometimes start to... So let's review for just a minute and see again some things. What's this book is about? Well, the book of 1 Samuel, this is not on your handout, so don't worry about that. The book of 1 Samuel bridges the period in Israel's history from the line for the book. Three main characters in the book, Samuel, Saul, and David. First of all, Samuel, Israel's last judge in chapters 1 through 8. Then there was Saul, Israel's first king in chapters 9 through 15. He's still king, by the way. And now we're looking at David, Israel's choice king in chapters 16 through chapter 31. Now we looked at a number of aspects about David and how he came out of oblivion. He defeated Goliath. He was thrust into national limelight. People saw him. Who is this man? They wanted to know. Even Saul says, "Whose kid is this?" in relationship to that. There's a handout over there, Bunny, if you want to grab a handout as you come in here. So we're looking at David's, Israel's choice king in chapter 16 through 31. Now we're at letter E, so we didn't put all the other letters on your handout, but I want you to know we're jumping ahead looking at David in exile. From verses chapter 21 through 31, David has been in exile for some time. We're in chapter 27 tonight. And trying to understand more and more about him as God is developing him to be this choice king here in the future. But he's not quite there yet, as oftentimes we need time and development in our Christian lives as well. And tonight we're going to see, and this is our ninth point here under David in Exile, David at Ziklag in chapter 27. So we're kind of vaulting ahead and catching everybody up who hasn't been here. What we're studying, we're looking at David at Ziklag tonight. Now, in chapter 27, we find some commendable things about David and some not so commendable things about David. What are they? These are on your handout in case you didn't get that here. First of all, we find to his honor that he prudently cared for his own family and their own family's safety and that of his men. And this is recorded in verses 2 through 4 through 9. So here's some things that are honorable about David in this chapter that we're seeing, and we want to mention these things, and we're going to talk about them a little bit more as we come down in the future. But secondly here, we find his dishonor, that he began to despair at this time in his exile, verse 1. He's down, he's out. Secondly, that he left Israel and sought safety in the land of the Philistines, king for protection and provision, while at the same time he deceived the king about his mission while he was there in verses 10 through 12. So there's a number of things going on here in this verse, and you can understand. Can you guys see all that and get that over there? Better off to sit over here, you can see a little bit better. And let's read 27:1, the first half of the verse. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul." Because of the many issues David faced while in exile, we see he began, the man who's after God's own heart. Saul had promised that he would not pursue him any longer. We saw in chapter 26:21. Look back there for just a minute. Verse 21. Then Saul said, "I have sinned." Next week, another week here in chapter 28, when he goes to the witch of Endor for insight and wisdom, because God isn't going to answer his prayers anymore. He's been out of fellowship so long. This is absolutely decides to move again. And our first point there is that verse 1 reveals that David's heart is down in the land and trusts God for his protection and provision. And here he's thinking that he's going to perish and that he needs to leave the land. You know, God had promised that he would be Israel's king one day. Samuel, God's prophet, had anointed him under God's direction in chapter 16, told us. Abigail, Nabal's husband, had assured him with her words in chapter 25. Matter of fact, back up there one more page and look at verses 27 through 31. What she said there. And here she's come to keep him from committing some grave sins. "And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make you, or make for my Lord, an enduring house." And notice she realized he was going to be king. "Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days." This is an amazing admonition or a confession that she sets forth here. Verse 29. "Yet a man has arisen to pursue you and to seek your life. But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as far as from a pocket of a sling. And it shall has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, which he nearly did, or that the Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my soul, remember your maidservant." And no doubt he remembered her. Her husband dies within a week, and David takes her to be his own wife. He said, "This is a wild tell you and stand up to you and say, don't do that. That would be foolish to go in that direction." This is the principles we've learned from God's Word. Heed what I'm saying. Show me why we should do what you want to do. That would be foolish, dear husband. And it's great to have a wife. Stated that David would one day triumph and prevail over the nation of Israel. Chapter 26:25. Look there. "Then Saul said to David, 'May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail.' So David went on his way and Saul returned to him." How could you say this? It just reveals again that David was a man like you and I are. We can be up and doing fine one day, and the next day when circumstances are down or worse, sometimes not looking to the Lord. Is the theme verse from chapters 21 through 31. Go back there with me. Chapter 23:14. the theme verse for 10 chapters, Saul. I mean, where's your faith? Where's your thinking in regards to these? Getting in this same position David happens to be in right now. Easy for me to do. We need to hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, lest we drift away. For the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? Here's an admonition. Don't drift away. Don't get down. Don't think, yeah, someday I'm going to perish someday at the hand of Saul or at my enemies, or, you know, I'm going to end up in some trash dump someplace. You're God's child. He saved you by His grace. He wants to use you by His grace. And that's why we need to keep hearing the Word of God, refreshing our minds, being challenged to think the way God would have us to think. And look at those verses. It's easy to drift. It's easy to be down. And this chapter in the book of Psalms was probably written later in David's life, but it reflected back to maybe this very time. Notice the first four verses, and this could be what's going on in David's thinking. I mean, he's been in exile, hearing you drift. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten. Now we can read the next few verses and see the upside, because this happened probably later in David's life when he looked back at a time like what's going on in chapter 27. And then he came to himself. Look at the next few verses. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. In just a few years, this time of exile would end. And David would be reigning in Hebron. But a few years seem like eternity when we're not patient. They're ever turning, but they often turn slowly at His will and His time and not our own time. It takes both faith and patience to be what God... I'll give you some verses here now. You might want to just jot these down in that promises to remember here. So, and just again, He will bring to conclusion. You need to trust Him. In light of those situations, result in our Christian life. And that's why we need to keep that in perspective, that if you're saved, you have a positional righteousness which can never change. But now, practically, where is that righteousness in your life, in my life? David, where are you? I mean, this guy's been, God's been bringing him along here, because he's going to be king over the nation of Israel. And again, you learn the most of your life so that you can now look to the Lord in those trials and situations. And you don't think you have to handle it all in your own thinking. Because God wants you to progress, but He wants this to be practical and experiential as you walk with the Lord depending upon Him. And that's why one day we're going to be in this ultimate sanctification. We're going to be like Him. We're going to be conformed to His image. But this is where we are now. And if you've been saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, you have a positional righteousness which you cannot lose ever. Now you can lose sight of that. And you can start to drift in second tense here. And go nowhere implications off of this chart in your thinking about them. Like what, Pastor? How about Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, who's he talking to? Believers? As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here's your part. Work out your own part to play. God has a part to play. And again, we're positionally righteous in Christ, but we're to work out in that second tense salvation or sanctification chart, because God foreknew, He also predestined. What did God want? To conform us into the image of His Son. That's third tense sanctification. To be like Him. That He might be the first in our lives. He's seeking to transform us. Okay? And this is in a passive way for you to be. Now notice this next verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, like Samuel with David, God worked with Saul, but Saul rejected. He hardened his heart, didn't he? And that's why David right now could have been claiming a verse like Proverbs 3:5 and 6. David, why don't you trust in the Lord with all your heart? and not lean on your own understanding and think you have to figure out your problems in the future, but just acknowledge Him to move to Philistia. Oh, David's taking this upon himself. He's going his own direction. He's on his own thinking. And that's why trusting in the Lord, when you're in a hurry and you want to get it done and you want to have it your way, God says you need to just slow down. You don't have to go off half-cocked doing your own thing in regards to these things. But waiting is oftentimes hard when we're in a hurry and we want it our way, isn't it? It's very, very hard to do that. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord give up, hang up the spikes and walk away. This Christian life's too tough, I can't do it. You know, and someday you may have to come and remind me of these verses because I can faint. I can lose sight. I can drift. First half of verse 1. Verse 1, and David said in his heart, now I shall perish by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should swear I will escape the reach of Saul. Now that's amazing, and it could be. This is the land of Philistia, and Israel would be in this central portion here. Here, you know, the last time David had been in Gath, David pretended madness. Remember that? Before the king, so he would not be killed. That was in chapter 21 when he first began his exile. This episode of madness allowed for David's escape at that time, the disposal of the Philistine king. What is a vassal? It's one who's at the disposal and service of another man. That's what a vassal is. Okay? David, are you crazy? What are you doing? You should be serving the Lord, not this Philistine king here. Okay? The enemy of Saul would be welcomed as an ally to the Philistines at this particular time. Okay? Now the question I put next on your handout in that last encounter, David was the last time that he met Saul. Saul is not going to chase this man anymore. He's gone to Philistia. And so obviously this was the right move for David. Some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should your servant dwell in the royal... It may be the easiest thing for you to do, but I didn't write these all out to have you put in Philistine territory for some time. We'll look at that here in just a minute. The city Ziklag would from this day forward belong to the people of Judah forever. To this day, the Bible states that emphatically. So now we've moved on here. We've seen two phases. David flees his land and he goes to Gath. Now we're looking at David at Ziklag in verses 7. And this is the latter part of his development to be king. And he's going to make some mistakes here in this particular spot here that we're at. The question is, what can we note about this time period? We can go through time periods in our life where we just kind of do nothing. We're not hearing the Word of God. We're not moving. Gershurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. For those nations, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive. Well, there's some drastic things that are stated by God. You shall utterly destroy them. The Hittite, the Amorite, against the Lord your God. God says, I know if you don't take care of these people and if you don't utterly destroy them, they will from within destroy you in time. You know, we've seen they had failed to completely accomplish in the past. David is now raiding these people. Gath with gifts for the king of King Achish. And the king thought David was attacking the Jews in Judah. And he's protecting his own butt, isn't he there? But at the same time, he's deceiving King Achish with false reports. Okay? This resulted, number 5, in Achish being prepared to integrate David's men into the... and would now have to fight with the Philistines against their own people. You can read ahead. Second point here is this. When not looking to the Lord, we're capable of any sin in the catalog of sins. David did some amazing things here. He slaughtered all these people. He lied to King Achish. He was deceptive in his moves here. Shows us again, even though he's a man after God's own heart, and God has stated that, that's true. He had some times when he wasn't always everything. And we've seen this in the past, that David... I mean, we don't have to wait even to 2 Samuel when he sleeps with Bathsheba and has Uriah killed. I mean, for God to say this about this man, obviously David kept turning to the Lord and kept confessing his sin. And that's why it's important for us to remember that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This is a verse taken out of a context on Christian liberty in Romans 14:23. But again, we need to operate by faith. When we don't operate by faith and we do certain things, that could lead us into sin. That's the point here. Okay? And number three, we're not redeeming the time, we are wasting our opportunities that we have. Thus, we need to keep redeeming the time, keep walking with the Lord, keep depending upon Him. And Psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, so that we could be redeeming the times, using the time and the opportunities God has given us, and not wasting our opportunities. I mean, anybody here not wasted their opportunities once in a while? We all have in our past. And that's why we need to keep walking with the Lord. This is a difficult chapter to come up with some positive things I could say to you out of it, because David's life is not always so glorious here, but we can learn some lessons. All right, let's pray. We're done a little bit early here today. How about that? Father, we thank you again for your matchless grace, and even again for recording 1 Samuel 27, the life of David. We've seen his ups, we've seen his downs, we've seen him in between. Father, we realize again that